This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Haney. A group of ambitious Walnut Hills residents took on the task of creating several short films this summer that explore and highlight the people and flavor of their community. Hilltop Stories, a neighborhood film project, also served to bring neighbors together. Joining us to discuss the project are artist and art educator Sam Meter, Ryan Mulligan, assistant professor of fine art at the University of Cincinnati College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning, and Dan Joyner, an organizational and participatory leadership consultant with government, educational, and local groups. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
Ryan, let's start with you. Put you in the hot seat first. How did the idea for doing this come up?
Well, we got invited to just basically become long-term neighbors during the summer. So Annie Bowling, who runs the Gallery Project on Woodburn, started a new community-centered art space, and she really wanted a big launch for the summer. And so she loved my work and my paintings and drawings and asked what I want to do this summer. I said, we're going to make a film festival where we have the community of Walnut Hills come together and make a bunch of short movies in front and behind the camera. So we're really trying to put Walnut Hills in both sides of the camera so they can really share their story. And I knew immediately that the only way I was going to get this done is if I started having lots of community organizing meetings. And I brought in my partner who worked with me at Artworks to design and build the Hero Design Company, which is now a linchpin program of Artworks.
Was this a self-funded effort? How did you do this?
I'm laughing hysterically because this is entirely was funded by our credit cards, and we are incurring a little bit of debt, but we're happy doing it. We lucked out right at the end to get a small grant from Fuel, which is part of Give Back Cincinnati, and they gave us the funds to get the projector, the screen, a technician, and some small amount of money for advertising. But all these films have been made with volunteers, by volunteers, and by people in the community. So it's really as grassroots as you can get.
Dan, talk about that level of collaboration. I mean, what's that been like? What's gone into creating this film? It's been business leaders, hasn't it? Community folks, people in the neighborhood, all chipping in together, hasn't it?
Yes. For me, it's been collaboration from the very beginning. Annie Bowling came to me and invited me to come to a gathering that was introducing the idea to the neighborhood. It was an opportunity to meet Ryan and Sam, and quite honestly, I was honored that she invited me to come. You know, I knew Annie from living in the community and her having other businesses in the community. And when she told me it was about Hilltop Stories and there were some possibilities for some storytelling to happen over the summer and the movie making, I really got interested in that. And what really piqued my interest was really the opportunity to really do the collaborative work and to help facilitate that. And to be able to work with artists was just such an opportunity to add to the creativity that it takes to do collaborative kind of work. So that opportunity just really excited me, and it gave me a chance to really bring my gifts to this.
So there have been a lot of creative minds involved in this, haven't there?
A lot of creative minds, a lot of living on the edges. dancing back and forth, though, from structure needed to make this happen to the need for openness and creativity to come up with new ideas and to make new connections and to enable people really to learn to love and trust each other first. And I think it was out of that trust and connection that we decided to make at the beginning that enabled a lot of the creativity and activities to happen.
Sam, what kinds of things are going on in Walnut Hills that make it such a worthy subject for this kind of a project?
It's an incredible community. There are unbelievable people in the neighborhood that are doing incredible things that many neighbors know about and many neighbors don't. So, for example, there is this amazing group of chess players that meet at a local McDonald's, and they are an incredible group of men that support each other and work together and provide a little bit of solace and space for younger men who, you know, want to come in or maybe need a little guidance, as well as support for each other. There is a great organization, Elevate Walnut Hills, that is getting up off the ground, that is really supporting storytelling and sort of harvesting those stories in the community. We have met some amazing people that work in community gardens and beautify the city and clean up, do a lot of local cleanup, grassroots cleanup. For example, one gentleman, his name is Cecil Evans. He's been picking up trash in the community for over 20 years. And he said when he first started, he used to get, you know, looks from people, or people were annoyed that he was picking up their trash. And now he's, you know, a well-known and well-loved member of the community, and people really enjoy seeing him and wave to him. And
he'd be my hero if he were my neighbor.
Yes,
I love that.
No, I'm kidding. Tell me about it.
Sam, Walnut Hills, it's a very old neighborhood, and there's a mix now of very longtime residents and newer neighbors. How do they all interact?
It's really been very interesting for us to see. There has been a portion of the neighborhood that has come to us in the gallery, and we've had a lot of people that we met through the gallery, through the openings and the Walk on Woodburns. And then there's also been a portion of the neighborhood where we had to reach out and go to them and try to kind of bring those neighbors together to maybe meet for the first time, to realize that there are some great connections. There is a street that has become infamous for us. It's Hackberry Street, and apparently it is the place to be. All of the neighbors that we've talked to that live on that street talk about how it's wonderful, and they, you know, they all know each other, and this has been sort of a historic time on the street where everyone has known each other for years and years.
Ryan, for folks who don't know, how do you tell them where is Walnut Hills? How do you describe that to them? What are some of the boundaries?
Yeah, so I lived in Walnut Hills for about 5-6 years, and Walnut Hills is one song away from downtown. That's the best way you can describe it. It literally takes you the length of one song to get downtown. It is technically the boundaries go right to the edge of downtown, right on the edge of Eden Park, over to DeSales, and then we like to think of Walnut Hills as both East Walnut Hills, West Walnut Hills. We just really think about them as one neighborhood, right? Because it's all 45206, and it's the same zip code for both of these communities. And so we didn't let any of those kind of geographic boundaries be really part of our conversation, because we weren't interested in that. We were interested in the individuals, right? And these very, very specific people that came out and said, I have a story to tell. I have something to share that's important, or I know somebody who has something to share that's important. And we'd go out and we'd find them. And, you know, we even looked at the edge of Evanston, and it's technically outside of Walnut Hills, but whatever. I mean, it's all connected. It's all this community that has seen some of the roughest parts of you know, when drugs really came into Cincinnati, it was hit hard. Walnut Hills has one of the highest rates of rental properties of anywhere in the city, so you have a lot of people coming in and out, but you also have a ton of longtime residents. One of the couples that we met, Roy and Dee Green, they've been living there, married 54 years, on the same street. And it's those kinds of people who are so welcoming and bringing in these new neighbors that keep on coming in. That's been really incredible.
I'm from out of town. I live in the northern suburbs. So would you say Walnut Hills is this is how I think of things. Is it on the 75 side of town or the 71 side of town? Or is it somewhere in between?
It's on the 71 side of town.
Okay.
It's the 71. Sorry, I'm totally going random with my answer and getting excited about humans and people, and you want actual geography.
Your borders are Route 50.
Yeah.
Or,
okay. Well, Ryan, tell us about Friday evening. You'll be showing these films, and they'll make their outdoor premiere. And tell me about that event. That's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be kind of ridiculous, actually. We started with the goal of making 7 short movies.
We have 13.
13? And that's people are going to see 13 movies that night?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
13 short films. I think we've done a count now. We have about over 80 people from the neighborhood in front of the camera, about 15 people from the neighborhood behind the camera, as well as crews of volunteer filmmakers, volunteer editors, all helping out behind the scenes. So there's a lot of faces in Walnut Hills. So some of these movies are more documentary style. We each have personal favorites, so maybe we just go around and
that would be great. I'd love to hear from each of you what your personal favorites were. That would be interesting.
Sam,
it's hard for me to choose.
Out of 13,
a favorite.
It's tough, isn't it?
It is really tough. We got a chance to work with some amazing filmmakers, Chris Butts, Katie Sammons, Pippin Rush. So we have a silent film, which is really amazing, that is supporting or is supported by the Hearing, Speech, and Deaf Center of Cincinnati. We also have a love story that is a reenactment that's fantastic. And I know Ryan's personal favorite, so I won't mention that one. We have this Bollywood flash mob that was a really incredible experience.
Yeah. And you know, okay, so we think about this project as different kinds of audiences. So the people who come and see the movies are going to see a Bollywood flash mob that spills out of the Kroger store, where the group The Pones, which is a community-based dance group, taught about 45 people from Walnut Hills a Indian hip-hop dance routine, flash mob style, outside of Kroger. We got Kroger totally on board. They're very excited to have us do this. So so that's the movie that people are going to see. But the other part of that whole project is that we made that movie because of one man, because of Courtney Cooper.
Oh, this is Courtney Cooper's story. This is very fascinating.
So Courtney is a cart man and a bagger at Kroger. He's been working there for, I think, going on 10 years now. He is an amazingly talented artist. He works through the studio at Visionaries and Voices. He has fairly severe autism. He's an unbelievably happy, personable man, and he loves music, and he adores dancing. And sometimes when he's working, he hears songs. Sometimes he hears R&B, sometimes he hears the German polka, and it's his thing. And so when the neighborhood in one of our community meetings said, we want a movie about Kroger, because Kroger's here and we want to support this store, we thought, all right, we're doing this with Courtney. And we're going to celebrate Courtney, and we're going to have the whole neighborhood come out and let Courtney see that we're here dancing because of you, right? And so in my mind, that's a whole other audience. All those people who came out that day and who showed Courtney that they love him and they appreciate him and they want them to be part of the neighborhood. And really, that's also part of the story of the silent film, which kind of Sam was in charge of really producing that one.
Dan, let's ask you, what was your favorite out of all these that you did, 13 of them?
Well, I would have to say the one element I think that's part of all the films is the fact that all this expertise came together and these ideas came from different expertise that we all had. We also used the gifts and talents of everybody to make them happen. So the people who were the subjects, the people who contributed, the stories, the filmmakers, all of us were able to synchronize our gifts and talents to make these movies happen. So for me, it's knowing that these movies emerged out of an intentional process to connect people who were part of this project. So it enabled us to kind of let go of, you know, expertise and all the things we know and all the assumptions, and really look out there for what's possible in creating something powerful. And so just knowing that all these films have come out of that way of thinking and those intentional efforts excites me. And so that's what I'm anticipating. And even on Friday, as we plan for Friday, we talk about creating a welcoming environment for people. So when people first arrive, we're going to be there. We're going to greet them. And we want people from Walnut Hills to come out and join us to greet outsiders who come to share and enjoy this this festival. So welcoming, hospitality, we want strangers to meet strangers. So we're going to connect people just as we did in this whole filmmaking process. We're going to continue to do that. So that's the work. That's the engagement work that goes along with this fabulous public art project.
So if I'm hearing you right, Dan, this is more of a social project than it was a film project then.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And let's talk with Mickey from Walnut Hills. Good afternoon, Mickey.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Listen, I have a couple things. Very quickly, it's wonderful what you're talking about. I live in East Walnut Hills and have for many, many, many years. On Ashland, and the entire block of Ashland and Upland, every Christmas, the wonderful Fred Martens and Warren Liang, who live on Ashland, on Upland, I'm sorry, have a Christmas party. They have done it for decades, I think, for both of the streets. And anyone who lives there is invited, and it's just marvelous. The other thing concerning the film, I'm just so astounded about that. I had no idea this was going on in Walnut Hills. I don't want you to forget that Jim Prues of Panoptica Media is on Gilbert, and he is a superb videographer and was running for First District Congress. And the space, this is the last thing I'll say. You talked about the event at Kroger. That, yes, Kroger is like one-third of what I call the marketplace for Walnut Hills. And it's bordered by CVS right across the way and Walnut Hills, and all these people, all the people come and are out on the streets. They set up their booths, they sell their incense, and they talk, and it's just, it's the place to be, you know, for that part of the neighborhood. And it happens to be African American predominantly, and it's my neighborhood because I walk there. I don't have a car. I walk there, so I know this culture for many years, and that's the marketplace, if you understand what I mean. That's the meeting place for people, and it may be taken over because a lot of the places are boarded up there on McMillan, and it may be gentrified, and I'm concerned about that because there are some beautiful people there, and I'm so happy you talked about Courtney. I know who you're talking about.
Mickey, you sound like you're excited about this project then. This sounds like you're glad to see your neighborhood showcased like that.
Very much so. It's very beautiful. You can walk to the post office. You can walk to the library. You can order any book in the world from the library. You can use computers in the library. You know, these are for people who are on the lower end of the spectrum. And I'm speaking for all of us.
Mickey, thank you very much. We really appreciate the comment. Anybody would like to respond to what Mickey had to say?
I love hearing the story about the Christmas party.
That's not part of the 13 now, is it?
No, it's not. But
could it be a future project?
Yes, and those are the kind of stories that keep coming out every time we talk to someone, every time we meet a new neighbor or get connected to a new face. Those are the kinds of things that come out. There's a group that has a dinner party once a month that everyone's invited to. There's just so much going on. More and more keeps coming out, and that's what's really exciting about the community.
And part of our work has been just listening to individuals. So one person will introduce us to somebody else, you know, and we go to Parkside, which has become Parkside Cafe is our third office, we call it, in the neighborhood. So we're either hanging out at Cafe de Sales where conversations are happening, we're in the gallery on Woodburn, or we go over to Parkside and just sit and continue to stay even after we've finished our lunch. And we got to meet the owners of Parkside, and we got to go find out about their beehives. And so they have, you know, 4 hives of bees in their backyard, and they're going to be giving 2 of them to the community garden so that kids can learn about beekeeping and about what bees actually do in the neighborhood. And they make their own honey, bee naked honey, and they sell it out of the Parkside. And it's those kinds of, like, just human, just real people, you know. When you get to meet them and you learn about them, you kind of fall in love with the neighborhood. I've met more people doing this project than I did in all the years that I lived in Walnut Hills. Because, you know, as a new person in a city, I'm from Virginia and I moved here for work. As a new person in the city, sometimes you don't feel like you have that reason to ask a neighbor for a cup of sugar, you know? And this is our ridiculous, convoluted excuse to do that.
Well, and some of that is we're really struck by this Pew Research study that said that 28% of Americans don't know a single neighbor. And so we did a little math. And that means that 1,680 people in Walnut Hills feel like they're alone. And so that in and of itself was enough to sort of start to connect neighbors to neighbors, build a little bit of social fabric, and strengthen that fabric that already exists, connect people together.
Sam, have you seen improvements in relationships? Are people smiling at each other more, saying hi more? They're more aware of who's in the neighborhood and that kind of thing?
I think so, yeah. And we have a standard rule that if we've seen you walk by 3 times, we have to meet. So we do a lot of opening the door and walking out of the door, which is really what it takes when it comes to meeting your neighbors and doing community building, because you often have to take the first step because someone else may not be willing or able to.
Let's talk with Celeste in Walnut Hills. Good afternoon, Celeste. You're on Cincinnati
Hey.
Edition. Hi.
Hi. Hey, I wanted to give a shout out to Ryan and Sam for including me in their project.
We love you, Celeste.
Yeah, you didn't think anybody who actually was in one of these films was going to call in, did you?
Wow, you just happened to be listening.
I am so sad that I am not going to be at your opening on Friday because I'll be working.
Well, that's
okay. I was wondering if the gallery project has plans to run any more of these films so that, you know, all of us can see how fabulous our neighborhood is.
So we actually just found out that we got invited after this to have these films reshown at the Cincinnati Art Museum.
September 26th.
So for their big Friday night Art After Dark event, they're going to show these again. But we've actually been so busy making the movies. I mean, this is a total of 120 minutes, right? 13 films in the neighborhood. We've been so busy producing all of this that we haven't even gotten started on our website. But as soon as the films are shown on the 15th, we're immediately starting on the website, and we will post all of them so that everybody in the neighborhood can see. You can brag about them, share them with your friends, and we can really paint a true and a rich portrait of this just real community.
Celeste, thanks for the call. And Adam tweeted us a question. He wanted to know, did the film Be Kind Rewind have any influence on the Hilltop Project? Since Ryan's laughing the hardest, we'll let him answer that.
kind of. Well, yeah. This has been an idea for a long time. I've always wanted to have a neighborhood movie festival. Growing up as a kid, you have those moments where all the kids in the neighborhood come together and put on a play, right? Or they do the big end of summer show where one kid does a tap dance routine, somebody does a magic trick that they learned, somebody does a song that they learned from camp, and all the kids come together and do it, right? So I'm a grown-up, I'm an artist. Let's come together and do the exact same thing, but as grown-ups. And so, yeah, there's a bit of goofiness in here. There's a bit of ridiculousness. When we were at an event and we met a mime, right? Who's a mime in his church group. And we got to talk to him for a while, which is obviously funny because he's a mime. But he was so passionate about what he does in the neighborhood and for his church that we said, we're going to make a movie for this guy. We need to find a way to have him be in a movie. Which then our intern, and this is how organic it is, an intern of ours from UC is interested in the deaf community. And so 2 and 2 together, a mime and a young deaf actor-actress meeting together in a park was the premise of a movie, so that we could have a way that we could talk about what is communication when verbal communication doesn't happen. And we wanted to honor her interest, and we wanted to honor this young man's interest. Well, in the end, we got to meet an amazing, amazing young actress who either wants to be an actress, a fashion designer, or the president. She's keeping her options open because she's 15 years old. She's incredible. And our mime just backed out. He didn't want to do it. So we'd already met this young lady. She wanted to be in the movie. And so let's do it. We'll find somebody great. So we got Dave from OTR Improv, who's just an incredibly funny physical comedian, and rewrote the script with him. We filmed it one Sunday. It's a amazing little silent comedy, very Buster Keaton style of a chance hilarious meeting in a park.
Dan, I'm curious about this. Would you recommend that other neighborhoods take on this kind of a project?
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is, for me, a public art project is the perfect place to build communities and build connections in neighborhoods. This is a second one that I've been involved in the last year, and both of them have been like magic. I personally learned a lot about building connections, but I've also seen proof that diverse groups of people from different backgrounds with different levels of experience and skills and so forth can really let their hair down, take risks, develop trust, tell real, true, deep, meaningful stories to each other. And then on the other side of all of that, passion and compassion, laugh, celebrate, you know. So when I think about this Friday, it's going to be a celebration. You know, we're going to have a good time and want everybody to come. But also just be mindful of all the deep, deep connections that have been made among all the people that have been involved in this. And to me, that's social fabric. We're going to leave that mark, and we're going to continue to develop that. I mean, that's my work, and I'm just excited that there are creative people like Sam and Ryan out there to partner with.
And Ryan, again, give us the schedule for Friday evening, and where can people find out more about the event?
Yeah, so on Friday is the last walk on Woodburn of the summer. So all the galleries and shops will be open. They'll start at 6 and run to 9. There's a big open parking lot right there on Woodburn Avenue, 2800 Woodburn. There's going to be food trucks, beer garden, tables, a live band actually from the neighborhood. We got to interview one of the guys in the band who's amazing. And they're all going to be there playing. So come early, hang out, meet some great people. And then as soon as it's dark enough, as soon as the wonderful technician says we can start the movie because it's dark enough, we'll start playing around 9 o'clock. And so bring your lawn chairs, bring a blanket.
Bring a neighbor.
Bring a neighbor.
Bring a jacket.
Just sit on a jacket. Yeah, whatever you need to do, just come out and, it's...
And celebrate your community.
Yeah, it's a big...
Because it's an amazing place.
It's a big hug, right? And we know as artists, we're not here to cure cancer or change the world or do anything. We're just here to highlight some of the amazing, as Dan says, some of the strings in the social fabric. And that's what we want to do.
Well, thank you for joining me this afternoon. Artist and educator Sam Meter, Ryan Mulligan, assistant professor of fine art at the University of Cincinnati College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning, and Dan Joyner, an organizational and participatory leadership consultant with government, educational, and local groups.